today we're going to be listening to Dwayne's testimony. Like we explained earlier, this summer, this month particularly, we're going through different testimonies of some people in our church. And so nearer to God is what we want to be. And Dwayne's testimony is exactly that, about him drawing near to God. I'm not going to say any more, or else he has nothing to say. You'll get to talk to me later. But before we start, I'd like to pray for Dwayne, and then he's going to give his testimony. Heavenly Father, I just pray for Dwayne. I just pray that you calm any anxieties that he might have, any distractions that he might have, and that you can be fully present by him as he speaks of his experience with you, of his experience of change, of his experience of really feeling your Holy Spirit working through him, through little things, through big things. God, I just pray that you bless his words. And Lord, I just pray for the congregation here that we all have receiving hearts, that we can listen to the words that he speaks and see your Spirit. See you, O God, changing us. In your name I pray this. Amen.
Hello. My name is Dwayne Vanderwell. My life verse is Matthew 7, 24 through 27, the wise and the foolish builders. I will start off by reading a personal reflection I wrote a number of months ago in April. Music, it can be powerful, emotional, energetic, raw, thought-provoking all at once. It drives us, motivates us, lifts us up, and fills our hearts. It reminds us of the past, moments of remembrance, moments and memories of joyous events and times of struggle. It brings tears of joy and pain, happiness and contentment. The power of music cannot be fully described with words. It is a human emotion that gives it the true definition. God gave us this gift, this blessing, to worship and praise him. He gave us ears to hear, voices to sing with, and hearts to soften from its effects. We are to use this to his glory, not only in church on Sundays, but all day, every day. God has blessed us with instruments of all kinds, piano, organ, guitar, violin, drum, trumpet, flute, harps, and many more. We are to use all of these instruments to praise him for his glory. God has gifted and blessed me with the opportunity and responsibility to be one of the live sound technicians here at New Life Church here in Abbotsford. Our sound booth is located right in the center of the church. It truly is amazing to be surrounded by and witness the praises being lifted up to God through song from the congregation and the praise band, while I focus on providing the best mix of the band in relation to the congregational singing, the type of song, the emotion, power, and message delivered and intended for each song. The heart, soul, and strength put into the collective worship sends chills down my back, and you can feel the strong presence of the Holy Spirit working through every single person in this building. The blessing and honor to be able to witness this, all, you can't describe with words. The best way to describe it, the Holy Spirit is moving. The best part of it is, you don't need to be sitting in the sound booth to feel it, to see it, to hear it. This can happen in any seat, in every single corner of the sanctuary, in any room of the building. The church and its congregation is truly alive, not just at New Life or in Abbotsford, but all around the world. People are praising our Lord and Savior. To God be the glory. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. I was born and raised in Langley, BC, into a loving and caring family. Our family isn't big, according to our traditional Dutch culture and heritage, at least. It is just my parents, two younger sisters, and myself. As far as growing in my faith, the moment I turned And the moment I turned my life completely around and lived for Jesus after a life-altering situation, well, I don't have a testimony along those kind of lines. For me, it was gradual, growing steps at a time. I grew up in a Christian household, was baptized and did a profession of faith, attended church every Sunday, both morning and afternoon service, attended youth, catechism classes, and young adults. Till I was in my early 20s, I grew up and was part of the Canadian Reformed Church in Langley. All of my family, still to this day, including almost every single extended family member, still attends this Canadian Reformed Church. I grew up with a pipe organ, at times piano, and for Easter and Christmas, the addition of trumpet. I grew up singing from the Book of Praise, Genevan Psalter Hymnal, with songs from the 1700s and 1900s. I have precious memories of this and will never forget listening and being surrounded by the powerful, strong, yet light and dainty sound of the pipe organ, along with a vocal strength of about 700 strong member congregations singing in a very true traditional Dutch energy. It is quite unbelievable and amazing. That joint worship was and still is powerful to me to this day. God had other plans for me, though. In my early 20s, during that time, I started to make my faith my own personal faith. Beyond my parents and family faith and the tradition I was raised in, I started to think more deeply about church. What were the reasons and intentions behind our faith core and corporate church structure? As a young adult, I had many questions as to why do we do what we do? This led me to explore other churches, namely Northview here in Abbotsford. It was during this time I met and became very good friends with Fred Victory, who introduced me to Laura, my wonderful, amazing wife, and to almost every person I know in Abbotsford and over the valley. Around the time Laura and I got married, we attended Gateway Christian Reformed Church for a bit. After a while, God was calling us to new life. In Laura's case, she was returning back to the church she was born and raised in. And for myself, it was a new beginning in my life. Since that moment, we have felt and feel and truly believe new life is our home. And this is where God wants us to be, a part of this amazing community and raise our growing family in and worship our Lord and Savior, not only through corporate worship, but also being an active part of the worship ministry. Music has a rich history in my family while growing up. I have always been around it in some form, whether it was playing in the family car at home while spending time with my dad in his classic 1972 GMC truck, or in the garage at home, and family gatherings also. My parents had a passion for it. It grew within my sisters and myself. In the mid to late 80s, my dad and his two brothers were part of Carrie 550 AM Voice of the Church Christian radio ministry, which is still very active to this day. My older uncle recorded and produced the messages, along with help from my dad and younger uncle. While my dad took me along with him and my sisters on Sunday evenings to drop off the recording at the studio located in Blaine across the border. I saw many pictures of my dad growing up in the family photo albums of him and his four or five brothers. One of them lived in Holland for a long period there and still does. And they were surrounded by and in front of the reel-to-reel recording music and also the 8-track player. One of my uncles is a professional audio recording engineer, working primarily with mass choirs, bands, and organ concerts from BC to Ontario. From as young as I can remember, my father was always heavily involved with running and organizing the church sound system at the Canadian Reformed Church I grew up in. For the last number of years now, he has stepped down from that role, but still carries that passion. Witnessing this, I developed a passion for church sound and became involved with it also at a young age of 13, 20 years ago now. God blessed me with the opportunity to be trained and operated for sound for church services, high school graduations, high school assemblies, band concerts, weddings, praise and worship evenings, funerals, church choirs, and whatever else the church managed to rent out to and facilitate. I also had the opportunity to provide sound services for evening wedding receptions at rented halls throughout the valley, and still do that once in a while when time allows within our busy schedule at home and at work. During my time at Northview and Gateway, I took a break from running sound with honestly no desire to ever get back into it again. But God, again, had other plans for me in regards to that. Now, about 5-6 years ago, Mike Vanderquack approached me asking if I wanted to be a part of the sound team. Over the next 5 to 6 months, I hesitated and did not reply, even though I felt God calling me back into that ministry once again. I didn't follow. I came up with reasons to say thanks, but no thanks, I will pass. Through this time, God was repeatedly working on my heart and telling me to say yes, but I was reluctant. Life was busy enough, and that was before Luke and a toddler in my life, in our life, without being part of this ministry to top it off. But then God placed it on my heart even stronger to jump back in with both feet into the sound ministry, and I followed. That was 5 years ago now. It has been truly a blessing to be part of the New Life worship team and its volunteers. Through this all, past, present, and future, God has been and continues to work in me through the passion of music in ways I could have never imagined, teaching and guiding me through the people, the worship teams, and through the congregation and community that he has placed me and our family in. 3 months ago was a turning point in my life. During the weekend of April 12th to 14th, New Life Men's Conference Retreat was held right here in this same room. Aaron Bart, the keynote speaker, focused on living in and through the Holy Spirit. It was a powerful weekend. The Holy Spirit was working and softening the hearts of all the men that attended. The presence of the Holy Spirit in this room was strong and powerful. The weekend was full of prayer for wisdom, guidance, healing, and the strong presence of the Holy Spirit upon this room, this building, this congregation, not only for that weekend, but also upon the future of this church. It wasn't until Tuesday morning, 2 days later, the second I woke up. It truly impacted me, and the Holy Spirit changed my life. For the first time, at a level I have never experienced before, God was speaking to me, giving me exact words, verses, and exact words and verses for specific people, constantly putting other verses topics, desires, and words on my heart and mind while I was at work all day on that Tuesday. It was incredible. I still have the notes written down on a piece of 2x4. I'm in construction, just so I remember the verses, so I can pass them along to the people during my lunch break that God was giving me them for. The most incredible part was I didn't know the exact content of those verses when God was giving them to me, but they hit hard on, like dead on with what that person was going through in life. And it was quite incredible. But God didn't stop there, and he continues to do that to this day. And this is another reflection I have wrote over the time in the last couple months. One of the things God also placed on my heart was my mind. I'm a thinker. I'm not the most talkable guy, but I'm a deep thinker. And there's always a lot of topics and things all constantly going through my mind, almost 24/7. But I've always struggled to express it, to say it, to get it out. But God given me a gift, a passion for writing on these different topics. And therefore, I'm going to read you a second one. Every majestic mountain peak with its glowing with snow and its beauty seen around for miles has its valleys. Every valley has its rolling green meadows with grass blowing in the wind softly, all while having that peace, that feeling of peace, awe, and God's glory amongst it. With this meadow transcending up from the valley onto and up the base of the mountain. During the sermon this past month, on July 23, one of the quotes given in the message was explaining this general visual in reference through our faith. Now, I don't recall the name of the gentleman that quoted it, but while I was hearing it, God was speaking to me and giving me the exact words, the image I just mentioned. This describes Mount Sheam wonderfully. As with many others we are blessed with in the valley and all over our beautiful country and province, this describes God's never-ceasing love for us, his children, in a wonderful way. Are you on a mountain peak? With your heart, mind, and soul open to what God is revealing to you? Are you praising him with all your strength, through all of life's joys, blessings, trials, and hardships? Are you deep in the valley, not knowing where to turn, struggling just to get through the basics of day-to-day life? Or are you standing in that meadow, just cruising through life, only opening up your heart to the Holy Spirit and God in the tough times, looking for answers and guidance to get him out of that rut? And when life is good, you don't put much thought or energy into your faith or walk with God. Where are you currently sitting in your faith life? God wants us to be on that mountaintop with him and close to him, not in the valley or sitting still in that meadow. Yes, we are sinful by nature, and we will have tough times. We will have moments we question God and the events happening in our lives. God was, is, and will always be there for us, even if we don't see it or realize it or know it. He never has and never will forget about us. He loves us deeply and cares for us all. To God be all glory be to God, our Father. 1 Corinthians 13:1 through 8. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, but if I have a faith, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body over to the hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. One of the verses, and this is another reflection to end this off. One of the verses in this song, Living Hope by Phil Wickham, has the following lyrics. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. The end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. I would have sang that for you, but you probably didn't want to hear that. So, such powerful words packed into one single verse. When was the last time you felt, you heard God's loving kindness tear through the shadows of darkness in your soul? When was the last time you opened up your heart, soul, and mind to our Lord and Savior and to the Holy Spirit? For us to have a thriving faith life and strong relationship in Yahweh, our Creator, the Father and Redeemer, we must set time aside to quiet our soul and listen to Him. This past Easter weekend, on April 21st, we had a very unique worship set. A couple of hymns, contemporary songs. What made it unique was the music style, the chords and the keys. The Jamaican meets classic hymns meets modern day contemporary music, all blended together very wonderfully with seamless transitions between each song and every style. The church was packed full and the Holy Spirit was very, very evident. New Life has always been strong when it comes to congregational singing and a passion for worship music amongst a passion for everything else that takes place in this church during the weekend and also during the week outside of this church building. As I wrote in my personal reflection that I started reading my testimony with, the weekend of the men's retreat, though, something changed. Our hearts, minds, the passion, the raw emotion, and power of the joint collective worship with the congregation and the band became stronger than ever before. The presence of the Holy Spirit is heavily upon us, upon this church, and upon Abbotsford.
Thank you, Dwayne, for your passion, for how you describe worship, music, and how it's affected you, but how you've listened to God, that you've become obedient to Him, even going places that you never fully wanted to go at one point. But we are truly thankful for how you've blessed this church with worship ministry and doing the sound. Dwayne's life verse, he said, comes from Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. And it's on the wise and the foolish builders. And so that's what I want to start reading for you guys today. It says here, therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine, so this is Jesus talking, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So I'm just going to dive right in and say that the very first contrast that I see in this passage has to do with the type of foundation. So Dwayne works in construction. My husband's also in construction. He's a framer. And in talking to Nolan couldn't emphasize enough the need for a strong and perfectly laid out foundation. The rest of the house is tied into, anchored into, built upon a foundation, and it needs to be set, it needs to be solid, and it needs to be level. So when we look at this story, we're looking at two houses, and Jesus is talking mainly about the foundation. Naturally, we think that these two houses are built in separate locations. At least that's how I always thought about it when I grew up. I always believed that one of these was on like some beach, and that's where that one was built, and another house was built on a rocky cliff. But if we look at the geography of ancient Palestine, our assumptions might actually be wrong. In fact, Jesus was probably referring to two houses that were actually built side by side on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus was sitting and delivering this exact message. Mike Napa, he's a columnist for belief.net.com, he says that the sands ringing around the lake was hard rock during the hot summer. So the temptation for a foolish builder would be to build a house on that sand, assuming that it would stay rock hard all year long. But a wiser person would understand that there were seasons. And regardless of the outward appearances in summer, they would dig through the sand until they actually reached bedrock, which was probably about 10 feet down. Then the wiser builder would use that bedrock as his foundation. So obviously, when we look at it that way, the house built on bedrock would last through stormy weather, through high winds, through flooding. The one built on the summertime's hard rock or hard sand, it would likely fall when different seasons came. See, the sand would moisten, it would start to crumble during the storms, winds would come and cut into it, flooding would then wash out and erode the home's foundations. So Jesus is sitting here in the exact location in Galilee, giving a visual lesson for all of our lives. From outward appearances, both houses look very similar. They both look solid, they both have been built up on a foundation, and side by side, they look the same. But Jesus is making a statement towards people who appear to be anchored in God and those who are actually anchored in God. So let's look at a sandy foundation first. Essentially, Jesus was pointing out that if you look, that you can look like you're following God on the outside, but to your core, where you base your life, your decisions, your relationship, your identity, it can be based on something else. After digging around and exposing this not so firm foundation, we realize that some people have based their faith and their life decisions on things like relationships, about popularity, about status, about other people's opinions. And now outwardly, it can look like that they really care about community. But in their heart, they're not seeking God first. They look like they're putting their relationships as their foundation. Or we might find that some people put their foundations actually on money, about the security that they get from having a secure job, about how they're going to be set up for the future, about getting ahead. Outwardly, they look blessed. But in their hearts, they're not seeking God. They have put money and wealth as their foundation. Maybe for some other people, they've put convenience as their foundation. Just like laying the foundation, they don't want to put the effort to actually dig in 10 feet deep into bedrock. So outwardly, they just look like they're really accepting people. But in their hearts, they're not seeking God first. They're seeking the easiest foundation that they can come by. But when we look at the foundation made of rock, Jesus points out what a very firm foundation can look like, where inwardly, to your core, where you base your life upon, you're based on Christ, the rock. Now, he uses this word very purposely because the rock, the word the rock, was used repeatedly throughout the Old Testament. So it's not like he had to do a lot of explaining. In Genesis 49, verse 24, God is referred to as the mighty one of Jacob, the shepherd, the rock of Israel. In Psalm 18, verse 2, the rock is symbolizing God's unfailing strength, and he shows God as a fortress and as a deliverer. Jesus is showing the difference between sand and rock foundations, and he's stating here, don't put your trust, your hope, your life in anything else. Don't be swayed by other interests. Don't base your life on the easy way, the convenient way, the, well, everybody else is doing it way. Don't base your life and your values or decisions on anything else but God, the Father. Dig deep and hit that bedrock that will not be shaken. But then there's more. See, what he's really getting at is it's not enough to just hear God's words, to smile at the gospel and say, yeah, sure, that sounds pretty good. Because in our passage here, both the wise builder and the foolish builder hear the words of Jesus. As Sean Thomas wrote in his reflection on this passage, it says a lot of people who come to church think things like, I've built my house on a rock. I go to church every Sunday. I listen to the word of the Lord. But in the story, both men, the foolish man and the wise man, they both heard the words of Jesus. They both listened to the online sermons. They both listened to the podcasts. They both listened to Jesus' words. But the difference between the two builders, and therefore the foundation, and therefore the frame of the entire house, is what they do when they hear. And I think this is what's going on in Dwayne's encouraging words today. From a builder's perspective, he's noticed a change. He said, New Life has always been strong when it comes to congregational singing and a passion for worship music, but something changed. Our hearts, our minds, the passion, the raw emotion, the power of worship became stronger. Through the Holy Spirit empowering us, we have changed. Something's happening in New Life. Something is happening in Abbotsford, in Mission, in Chilliwack, in the world. We're changing from our sandy foundations, and we're digging deeper towards bedrock. We're becoming less obsessed with what we look like and the easy route, and we're hungering for God's voice and building of his kingdom. In verse 24 of our passage, it says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man." Verse 26 says, "Everyone who hears the words of mine but does not put them into practice is like a foolish man." As Max Lucado writes, the difference between these two builders is not knowledge and ignorance, it's obedience and disobedience. See, our houses that we build are only as strong as our obedience. You and I, we're only as strong as our obedience to God. See, just a couple of verses earlier than this passage today, Jesus was explaining, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus is calling us to build spiritual houses, meaning building our lives and everything that makes up who we are, building that to be strong by becoming doers. By using materials that will be anchored into the rock, and the structure of our lives are built from that. He doesn't want us to be structures that are built on other people's opinions. He doesn't want our lives to be constructed with materials that were built from greed or lust or laziness or sloth. He wants our spiritual houses to be built on a rock and the materials to be made out of our obedience to him. James 1 verse 22 says, "Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says." So then, how do you do this? I mean, how do you build a spiritual house through obedience? It sounds like fancy words, but what does it actually look like? In Jesus' time, it looked like doing what Jesus said. So when he told Matthew, "Hey Matthew, leave your tax office and follow me," building himself upon a rock meant that he would leave his tax office and follow Jesus. So when Jesus would tell the disciples, "Hey, take the loaves of bread and pass it out to the multitudes," building your life upon a rock looks like taking not so much loaves and passing it out to the multitudes. It's doing what he said. See, but for us, we don't have Jesus physically here telling us exactly what to do, but we can still hear him, as we heard in Dwayne's testimony. We can still hear him. His word is alive, it's active, and as we read it, or as we pray and we are listening for God to guide us, or when we hear God place people or verses or words on our heart. Dwayne said it like this: for us to have a thriving life, faith life, and a strong relationship with our Father and Redeemer, we must set aside time to quiet our souls and listen for him. Listen to him. Listen. Take it in, discern, know what is from God. See, in the past couple months, we've heard testimonies describing how people have received words or ideas that could only be from the rock. It could be from no other. And I love the way that Dwayne explained how this happened to him. On a Tuesday morning, just like that, he woke up and boom, things started just coming to his mind. At work, he couldn't let it go. God was speaking to him. See, when we set our foundations in Christ, God will make sure that everything that comes up from that foundation flows through him. We just need to listen, and we need to be ready to build. So get ready to do. Take Jesus' mom's advice. I love mom advice. Take Jesus' mom's advice in John 2, verse 5, because she says to her servants about Jesus, do whatever he tells you to do. So, when God gives you some scripture, what are you going to do with it? Share it. Act on it. Be transformed by it. When God reveals something to you during a message, what are you going to do about it? Share it. Act on it. Be transformed by it. When you feel prompted by a song, what are you going to do with it? I feel like you guys know what I'm going to say. Share it. Act on it. Be transformed by it. When God speaks to you in promptings, in visions, in dreams, in wonders and signs, as the Acts Church talked about, what are you going to do about it? You're going to share it. Act on it. Be transformed by it. New Life, visitors, everybody, let's be a people who hear the words of Jesus and puts them into practice so we can be like the wise man who built his house on a rock. Where the rains came down, the streams rose up, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. I'd like to ask you guys to pray with me. Heavenly Father, help us to look at our foundations. God, are we pretending to be anchored into you, but really we're anchored into something sandy? Are we anchored into popularity? Are we anchored into money? Are we anchored into convenience? And God, if we are, help us to abandon that house. And we pray for your help to dig deep to find you. Help us to find the bedrock of your love, the only firm foundation that we can find. God, your love, it calls us, it convicts us, it changes us, it saves us, it redeems us. Lord, help us to place our building plans in your hands. God, we ask for you to humble us so we can become obedient to you. God, we thank you for Dwayne's words, telling of his life, his passion for music, and his transformation of being obedient to you. Thank you for his encouragement and his wonder in experiencing your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. To end this service, I'd like to ask you guys to rise as I can give you guys blessing from God. After I say the blessing, we're going to be singing still another song. Our blessing today comes from 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 5 and verse 9. Where it says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also are like living stones, being built into spiritual houses to be a royal priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. New Life, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, and may you from here declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his glorious light. Amen.